I titled the sermon, I first said, don't give up, keep working. And I said, change it. Don't just sit there. Keep working. You know, sometimes we just get satisfied where we are. We're thankful for what we've been blessed with and what somebody else has done for us. And we just want to sit and just soak up the blessings. We know that we can't always soak up the blessings off of somebody else's faithfulness. We must be involved ourselves. And so this morning I want to talk to you about that and about entering into God's rest. The writer of the Hebrews talks about that, and we're going to look there in chapter 4 of Hebrews there, where he reminds us that we must continue working. We must continue living by faith. Faith in the God who created us and provided for our salvation when he gave his only begotten Son to be our sacrifice to pay our sin debt. It's because of him and his blessings that we enjoy the things that we enjoy today. And we're grateful, thankful for that. He encourages us to enter into the rest that can only be experienced through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The only way for us to experience true peace and rest here and now is through that personal relationship, trusting Jesus to be our Savior, allowing Him to become Lord of our life. And beginning to enjoy that peace. Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not as the world giveth. The peace that we get through Jesus Christ is not the peace that the world gives. The peace that we get through Jesus Christ is a peace that passes all understanding. A peace of knowing that He is greater than all, and that when we've trusted Him to be our Savior, we have authority over Satan. Satan has no authority over us, because greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. So we don't have to fall to Satan's temptation, these trials, although we will be tried, we will be tested, but he has no authority over us. He can't make us sin, and so we have that opportunity and choice. And so as we look this morning into chapter 4 of the Hebrews, and we'll be referencing some later scripture there in the Hebrews as he talks to us about entering into the rest that's provided for us through Jesus Christ. There's two rests that we talk about. One, there's the rest that we can enjoy now, the peace of knowing that we're in His will, the peace of doing His will and doing what He's put us here to accomplish. And then the later peace of the everlasting rest when He calls us home to go to be with Him and spend eternity in heaven, the ultimate rest. But there's a rest for us now, when we have, in fact, trusted Him to be our Savior and allowed Him to become Lord of our lives. So, as we look at this, in the first verse of chapter 4, the writer says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, he's talking about those, the Jews in the past, that did not believe, and a lot of people today who do not believe. Many have heard the gospel preached, but they throw it off. They don't believe it. They don't believe that God's word is absolutely true. that God will do everything that He has promised us to do. He will never, ever fail. He has never failed, and He never will fail to accomplish what He has promised us that He will accomplish. And so the writer here tells us that it's a faith thing. We've been talking about faith for some time. And there's so many references to faith in the Scripture. We walk by faith and not by sight. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so the writer here encourages us and reminds us that we must exercise that faith. In that second verse, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." And so they didn't believe. They didn't put their faith in God. And I remind you again that faith has three aspects to it. The first is belief. The second is trust. And the third is commitment. You know, we must believe, but more than believing, because we know that Satan also believes. The Bible says the devils believe and tremble. In Mark 4, story of the fellow that was possessed with many demons. Remember when Jesus approached him and those demons spoke to Jesus and said, "What do we have to do with you?" And they asked permission to be cast into a herd of swine or hogs that were grazing on the hillside. Jesus allowed that. They went into the hogs, and the hogs, because they were not going to be demon possessed, they ran off a steep cliff and drowned themselves. And so those demons, those devils, recognized, they believed who He was. And many people today believe that there's a God, but they don't put their trust in Him. And so besides just believing, we've got to trust Him. We've got to believe not only who He is, we've got to believe that He will do what He says He will do. And so here, those early Jews did not believe, and they remember, they complained, they went through the wilderness for 400 years complaining. You know, every time God would bless, he'd provide for them, and then immediately they'd forget about that, and they'd start complaining about, you know, "You've got us, led us off out here in the desert to die," and just complain. Sound like a bunch of Christians, or at least professing Christians today that are always complaining because things are not going just like they want them to go. And they're not able to do the things that they want to do. And I remind you again that it's not what we want to do, it's what God wants us to do that is important. And that happens when we believe and put our trust and faith in Him. And so here the writer reminds us again of the importance of our faith to be able to enter into that rest, to be able to have that peace that passes all understanding here and now, right now, when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, when we recognize and realize that God is able to provide for all of our needs. He's able to protect us from all of our enemies. He's able to keep us from harm. And when we put Him in right place in our lives. And there's a peace that comes there. There's a rest that comes with that. Because when I know that no matter what the situation, no matter who comes against me or what comes against me, I know that God's got it. You know, He's going to protect me. He's going to take care of me. Whatever happens, you know, if He allows me to go through some difficult time, and He will, that is for my strengthening and for His glory. And we have to go through some things to be strengthened, to have our faith strengthened. But there's a place of rest, of peace in that, when we know that we know that we know that we know that nothing can touch us unless God allows it. And so we know that God's knows exactly what's going on, and He has the answer. And if we'll just simply stay in tune with Him, if we'll follow His direction, if we'll follow His leadership, if we'll listen and heed the Holy Spirit's leading, then God's going to take us through this difficult time. And there's a peace in that. There's a rest. That's a place of rest. Because you're not in turmoil. You're not all worried to death about what you're going to do and how you're going to get through this situation. And many people are in that situation like that. They don't know. We just don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I have people telling me all the time, Brother Mike, I just don't know. I don't know how I can make it. I don't know how I can get through it. You know? And I'm talking about professing Christians. And so, what should we really be saying and thinking if we're really genuinely have placed our faith in Jesus Christ? I'm not sure what God's got going on. I'm not sure what He's up to right now. But I'm glad He's allowed me along for the ride. And I'm going to do everything I can to allow Him to be glorified through this situation. I'm not going to let the devil win this battle. I'm not going to allow him to get the victory through this trial, because I am God's child and God's going to take care of me. And there's a rest, a peaceful rest in that attitude when we're in that place, when we're in that right relationship with God, when we have placed our faith and trust in Him, when we have committed our lives to Him, then there's that place of rest. And the writer here is encouraging us to enter in that rest, to mature. Later on, down in the next chapter, he talks about how so many are not there because they just are not totally committed, you know. They've been through some motions, maybe made a profession of faith, maybe followed baptism and even joined the church, but they just have not matured. They're depending on that profession of their faith to get them to heaven, and they're not going to do anything else. They're just going to sit there and wait until God calls them home to heaven, you know. We don't do anything else. And the writer mentions that down in the next chapter, chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You see, when we make our profession of faith, when we profess Jesus as our Savior and let Him become Lord of our life, we follow in believers' baptism. We join the church. But it don't end there. We need to be hungry for God's Word. We need to spend time in God's Word. We need to spend time with other believers, sharing and being encouraged, encouraging others and being encouraged by others, and as we grow in the faith. And when we do that, then we're going to be able to reach more people. More people will see that. They will see our growth. They will see the change that has taken place in our life, because when we genuinely commit our lives to Jesus Christ, there's evidence, because the Bible refers to it as becoming a new person. You know, the things I once loved, I now hate. The things I once hated, I now love. It changes our want to's. It changes our attitude. And no longer do we want to be involved in those things that Satan is involved in or that Satan wants us involved in. We want to be involved in things that God wants us to do, that glorify Christ, the one who gave his life so that we could have life. Then we want to do things that glorify him. And so the writer here reminds us that so many are still spiritual babies. You know, they've been professing Christians for maybe 20 or 30 years, but they're still immature spiritually because they've not had the desire to be more like Christ and to grow up and to be strengthened in him. And so he encourages us to enter this rest, to enter this rest now, to enjoy that peace that passes all understanding here and now. Again, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, he said, "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." He invites us to come to him. He says, "I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest from the bondage of Satan, the bondage of sin, if you'll just come to me and allow me to have control of your life. I will help you through those difficult times and those difficult situations." And so we need to come to him. And so he invites us and encourages us. But then there are those who don't have that trust. As we see in verse 6, he said, "Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief." Because they didn't believe. For all those years, they wandered around in bondage because of unbelief. Unbelief. And so, we need to trust him. We need to believe. We need to trust. We need to trust him as our Savior. "There remaineth," begin in verse 9, "there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from him, from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." We need to cease doing the things that we want to do, fleshly things, and we need to start doing the things that God wants us to do. We need to start serving him and doing those things that he's called us to do, and believing, understanding, getting to know God's word. For verse 12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest or not made known in his sight. But all things are naked and opened under the eyes of him with whom we have to do." What is he saying? He's saying you can hide from your friends. You can hide from your family. You can hide from your employer or your employees. You can't hide from God, because God sees everything. Not only does he see everything, he knows exactly what we're thinking. He knows why we're doing what we're doing. He knows the motive behind what we're doing. So many times we do good things for wrong reasons. God knows the motive. He knows why we're doing that. You know, you're doing some good deed to somebody, but really the only reason you're doing that good deed is because you know that person has something that you'd like to have, or that person's able to help you some, and so you're just trying to do that so because what you're going to get in return, not because you're doing it for God's glory. You're not taking that meal to that person that's in need just because you want God to be glorified. You're doing that because you want something in return. Okay? That's not where you get the blessing. Where you get the blessing is when you start serving without expecting anything in return. And when you do that, you'll get more in return because God will bless you. It's kind of like your tithe, you know. You can give what's your obligation is, you know, and just really, you know, it just hurts every time you write the check or every time you drop that dollar in the offering plate because you think about all the things you could be doing with that money. Well, you just lost all your rewards because if you're giving it out of obligation, the Bible says there's no reward for that, you know. When you give it out of a heart, a desire to give, to serve Him, that's when He starts blessing. He starts pouring the blessings on. He says, give and it'll be given to you. Heaped up, pressed down, and running over more than you can even contain. And I know that that does not make sense to us with our human mentality. God don't work through a human mentality. Okay? God's not limited to what we can understand. And am I not glad of that? I'm glad that my God's not limited to what I can understand because I'd be in trouble. Because there's a lot of times I've been in places that I didn't really know how I was going to get out of except for God. And I'm glad that God knew how to get me out of them. You know? And so we need to stop limiting ourselves to our human understanding and realize that God does not operate under our human understanding. Okay? God's power, His abilities are limitless. There's no limit to what God can do. Okay? God can do anything except fail. He can't fail. But God can do it. And so we need to believe that. Believe that God's Word is alive. He says, therefore, for the Word of God is quick, or it's alive, it's living, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's Word. Spend time in it. Start learning more about what God's Word says. How do we know how to live the Christian life? So I just kind of try to listen to the preacher sometimes, you know. Or I try to do what Sunday school teacher tells us to do, or, you know. I try to do what this one says or that one says. Why don't we try doing it the way God says? That's what'll get us blessing. That's what'll get us in that rest, that peaceful rest here and now, and eventually, when the Lord calls us home, there's a rest that we will not even be able to imagine this side of eternity. We read about it. God's Word gives us a little brief introduction to what heaven's going to be like. But because of our finite human minds, we cannot really comprehend what it's going to be like. I can tell you it's going to be better than anything you could ever imagine. That's the rest that we look forward to. But for right now, we need to be in that rest, resting in that peaceful relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing that we are where He has called us to be. Now, what does that mean? That means that we need to get busy. There's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of work that the church is not accomplishing now because the laborers are few. They're very few that are willing to work, that are willing to serve, not just in the church, but everywhere. It's just hard to get people to serve. It's hard to get people to give up their personal desires to serve other people. Why is that? I can tell you my belief is because the relationship with God is not what it ought to be. Our relationship with Jesus Christ is not where it needs to be because we are, as Christians, we're to be Christ-like. There's never been a greater servant than Jesus Christ. There's never been one who served more than Jesus Christ. The one who constantly was taking care of the needs of people. Not himself, but everybody else. And paid the ultimate sacrifice when he gave his life to pay for our mistakes, our sins. Jesus was willing to do that. The Bible says that if we're going to be his disciples, we got to do something hard. What is that? Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me, Jesus said. That's a hard thing to do. It's hard to deny yourself, your own selfish desires. When you want to go do this or that, and there's somebody in need, there's somebody that you need to go speak to. There may be somebody that you just need to go sit down and listen to. There may be somebody, there may be a Job out there that just needs somebody to come by and sit with him. Not to tell him, you know, that they've got it all figured out. That's the biggest mistake that a lot of us make, you know, when we trying to help somebody that's going through a difficult time, then we got to solve their problem for them. You know, well, I understand exactly what you're going through. You know, I know exactly how you feel, which is a lie. You don't know how they feel. You know what they're going through. You might have been through a similar situation, but you don't know how they feel. But as Job's so-called friends, when they first came to him, there was no conversation. They were just there. And that's exactly what people need sometimes, is just somebody that cares enough to take out of their busy schedule and to lay down their selfish desires and just go sit with that person. Maybe listen to that person. But not to try to explain what they've done wrong and why they're in the situation they're in and act like you got it all figured out and you know exactly, you know, if you were in that situation, you'd do this or that and it'd all be good. No. We need to serve. We need to deny ourselves. Take up our cross and follow Him. Follow His example. of His commandments. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27 and following, He said, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." That's what we need to be doing. We need to be following Jesus. We need to follow the example that He set. We need to be doing like He did, doing the will of the Father. He said, "I came to do the will of the Father." We need to be doing the will of the Father, God, today. Don't just sit there. Do something, you know. Do something for Christ's sake. And begin to be blessed. Enter into His rest. Come to that place in your relationship with Him that you are confident that you are where He's called you to be and that He's going to take care of you. No questions. And rest in that. Not sit down and do nothing, but get busy in that place of rest. Serving God by serving people. Great need. Great need today. How about you? How's your relationship with Christ? What's your greatest desire? Your agenda? Or God's agenda? Father, God, we love You and we thank You. Thank You for another beautiful day that You've allowed us to be a part of. A day that, Lord, we need to rejoice and be glad in. A day that we need to be counting our blessings, the blessings that You have poured out upon us. Lord, You bless us every day. You provide for us, for our needs. You protect us from harm and danger. Every day, Lord, You look over us and You care for us. And too many times we just go about our daily activities doing the things that make us feel good, not even taking time to stop and say, "God, I thank You for everything that You're doing for me. God, show me how I can live more like Christ. Lord, show me who I need to be serving, who I can help that will bring You glory, that will lift up the name of Jesus Christ so that others can come to know Jesus as Savior, Lamb, and become Lord of their lives. Father, I thank You for this privilege and opportunity. Now I ask that You'd, Holy Spirit, speak to hearts right now. You know every heart in this building. You know every mind. You know every intention of our hearts. And God, I pray right now that You stir hearts, that we would be more like You, starting with the man behind the pulpit. Lord, stir my heart. Help me to be more like You, to be a greater servant for You, Lord, to allow Your light, Your life to shine through me and the life I live, so that others would see those good works and glorify not me, but my Father, which is in heaven. Speak, work right now in the hearts and lives of people, and we thank You for it. In Jesus' name. Stand with me for a moment. you know your heart. You know your relationship with Jesus Christ. Nobody knows it like you except God. If it's not where it needs to be, then right now is the time to take care of that. If there's something you need to do, decision you need to make, will you just slip out from where you are, come forward. I'll be glad to pray with you. I'll be glad to pray for you. I'll be glad to share Scripture. Whatever I can do to help you, that's what I'm here for.